Amen. Thank you, Brother Mark. you know, we're continuing with just teachings on the Holy Spirit. We you know, the Holy Spirit is a sevenfold ministry. And we began a few weeks ago speaking about the Spirit of the Lord. We spoke about the Spirit of life. We spoke about the Spirit of holiness, right? Which is, you know, again, the work of conversion, the work of justification, the work of sanctification, which we spoke about last week. And today we're speaking on the Spirit of adoption, which is the work that helps us receive our adoption. It's a work from the Holy Spirit. Thereby, the Lord God calls us His sons and daughters. Daughters, we are His children. Amen. So let's begin. Let's go to the book of Romans. We are going to begin in chapter 8. We're gonna do three verses, 14 through 16. So let's go there now. The book of Romans, chapter 8. And I really pray that throughout, just, you know, before we even do the teachings, you know, expect the Lord, ask the Lord, Father God, I expect to receive revelation from your word today. Like every Sunday, just expect to receive revelation from these teachings, because it is the word of God that is coming forth. Amen. Romans 8:14, this is what it says. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are indeed children of God. Amen. So I want to begin by defining what is adoption. What is adoption? Well, in the natural, right, we think of adoption as receiving a child who has been abandoned or orphaned for various reasons. And the new parent now takes on the responsibility of the biological parent. But God does not adopt believers as children. They are born by His Spirit through faith in Jesus Christ as adult sons and daughters. And this, church, this is called sonship. And what this denotes is the eternal relationship that we now have of Jesus to God the Father, or the adoption of believers as God's children. We are called sons and daughters. That is huge. We are now God's beloved sons and daughters. In the Greek, right, the word for adoption is huiotisia, right? And that means to place a son or daughter in a position of favor, trust, and responsibility. Amen. So now that we have been called sons and daughters, we've been adopted by God, there is favor. We are in a position of favor. We are in a position to trust God, right, as our Heavenly Father. And we also have responsibility as adopted sons and daughters. So these verses is telling us right from the beginning, because it says, if you look at these at this verse, it says here, the first verse, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So these verses tells us right now that not all believers are following the leading of the Holy Spirit as much as they could be, right? Right? And we know that in ourselves, that we don't always follow the voice of the Lord. Sometimes He tells us to do something, we're like, no, I ain't doing it. Or sometimes He tells us, you know, you need to forgive this person. you know, and we're like, no, I'm not ready to do that. So not all of us are following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Let's be honest, right? We're not perfect, right? And that means that some are still following, right? Some of us are still following our own carnal leading, right? Like I said before, we're going to say no to God right now, you know? In the morning we say yes, but this afternoon we're going to say no. And, you know, it happens, right? But listen to this. But that does not disqualify you as a son of God. You hearing me? You now have a new identity in Christ Jesus. And the one thing that we, without a shadow of doubt, you need to have that revelation that in Christ, you are a new creation. You are born again. You are now, hallelujah, a co-heir of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you need to know, as a child of God, you need to know your identity that is in Christ Jesus. Your past does not define you as a child of God. Christ, the finished work at the cross, defines us today when we accept His Son Jesus as a child of God. We are now born again believers, and we are led now by the Spirit that made us say, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior over my life. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. This is all by faith, church. This is all by faith. We did not accept Jesus by our own decision. No, this was done by faith in Christ Jesus. We have now the faith of God in us. Amen. So today, we are being led by faith and by the Spirit, that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that's the Spirit that resides in us today.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
But listen to this. Listen to this truth. Being led by the Spirit does not cause people to be sons of God, but being sons of God causes us to be led by the Spirit.
Amen.
You have that?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, I mean, this is revelation right here. This is the truth of the Word of God. All believers do have the Spirit of God to lead them, but that doesn't mean that all believers heed or obey His leading.
Mm-hmm.
Been there? I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't always heed to the voice of the Lord. I don't always obey His leading. Sometimes, or many times, I have missed it. I have missed opportunities that He has given me, either to pray for people, lay hands over people, miss job opportunities. We've all been there. I don't believe anybody's exempt, and if you are, then that means you're perfect. But I know I'm not I'm far from being perfect. We will reach perfection when we go home to be with the Lord. But right now, we're talking about the Spirit of adoption. We are His sons and daughters. God took us in. Our newborn again spirits are not like our old sinful nature anymore. We're no longer bound by fear. We're no longer bound by our past. So Paul here, he goes on to explain here that believers have not received the spirit of bondage that leads them to fear. No, they have received the spirit of adoption. And what does this do? This grants us, church, us believers, us saints, we're called saints now, not sinners, the freedom and confidence to address God now as Abba Father, as our Heavenly Father. Amen. This is an affectionate term, just like when we say daddy or when we say Papa God. This is it's a respectful way to say Father God. When we say Papa God or when we say daddy, you know, a lot of us refer to Father God as Abba or Heavenly Father, of Father God or Papa God, you know, you hear it from different people. That's just being affectionate towards your Heavenly Father. Amen. We are sons and daughters now of God by adoption. The Lord Jesus was the Son of God by nature, right? As Jesus said to the Jews, we were of our father, small capital F, the devil, right? But the Lord Jesus purchased us and made us adopted sons and daughters of God by the finished work on the cross. So that just shows you how much God loved us and loves us unconditionally. And we today, we now have eternal life with God.
Amen.
And we have an inner witness. We have an inner witness within us that assures us of this very truth. We are sons and daughters of God. We've been adopted.
Yes.
By God our Father. We can call Him Daddy. We can call Him Abba. We can call Him Papa God. He is our Father. Amen. And He's going to take care of us because that's what fathers, they take care of us.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at another reference about the spirit of adoption. Let's turn to the book of Galatians chapter 4 and let's go to verse 4. Just want to mention another reference to this because this is important for us to know who we are, who we belong to now. It's important for us. Galatians 4:4. This is what it says. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And when it says to your sons, you know it's referring to men and women. Okay? And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Amen? So here we see the Father sent His Son to the earth at the earliest possible time, right? Any time before that, it would have been something done prematurely, right? But the Lord God, hallelujah, the Lord God chose Mary, a Virgin Mary, who would be the mother of Jesus. And the purpose of the Lord was to come into the world to just save this world from the darkness and the separation that was caused by Adam and Eve in the garden. And when He came into the world, when He was born of a Virgin Mary, He came with a twofold. First, He came to redeem us, right, from the law, this letter of the law. You know, nobody can fulfill it, amen? Nobody can obey all these laws. So one, there were so many of them, 613 laws that were placed. So He came. Amen. The Lord Jesus came perfectly at the right time, and He came to fulfill the law, and He paid the price. He became cursed for us. Nobody can fulfill the law from the Old Testament. Amen. So the Lord God, He delivered us from the entire system of the law, that what it did was place fear in the people. Amen. But we know that today we don't have that spirit of fear anymore. We have a spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. That the Lord Jesus did away with that. Right? And He did it by keeping perfectly the law. He fulfilled it. And He paid the price for us. He became the curse for us all. He delivered us. Christ gave us a status of sonship, and not only just sonship, but He gave us a status that had privileges. Do you know that we are privileged as sons and daughters of Christ? We have so many blessings. Amen? In other words, under grace, because all this was done under grace, we were treated as adults, not babies. Amen. Before, in the natural, when you adopt children. Amen. Very rare that people adopt adult children. Amen. But the Lord adopted us not as babies, but as adults. We were already adults. We were under the comprehension. We understood the gospel. Maybe not fully, because things are revealed by the Spirit only, right? But nevertheless, we were redeemed not only from bondage of the Lord, but also unto sonship. We have been redeemed unto sonship of Jesus Christ, unto the Lord. Amen. We are now His adopted sons and daughters. And that comes with so much more. Because a lot of people, the reality is a lot of people stop here, right? And they only think about, oh my goodness, I was delivered from my sins. Oh, my sins have been forgiven. But boy, church, we need to rejoice, because we need to realize that this salvation, when we received the Lord, it came with a full benefit package. And it is our inheritance today. Just like Brother Mark read earlier, and he went to Psalm, let me go there really quickly, Psalm 103, when he opened today. And I just want to reread. Brother Mark, I don't know if you're there, but if you're there, can you reread Psalm 103, 1 through 5 again? Because it's talking about the benefits that we have as sons and daughters of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I'll read it for him.
So, amen.
Just one second.
Thank you, Jesus.
He read Psalm
103.
Which is praise for the Lord's mercy, a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
Amen. Amen. Do you see that? That is not just about being saved. There's so much more that salvation brings into life
right
here. We have a full package. He forgives. He heals all our diseases. He redeems us from destruction. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies our mouth with good things. Amen. With good pleasure. Amen. This is everything that we have in Christ. We need to realize all the benefits. And there's even one more. One of the benefits of being God's sons and daughters is receiving the indwelling, church, the indwelling of His Holy Spirit, which is key to our walk. We can do nothing without the Lord. We need Him. And He's given us the best treasure that we could ever have. Today He resides in all of us believers. Because what this does, you know what this does? This allows us, the believer, to address God the Father in the same manner that the Lord Jesus did. The word Abba is an Aramaic word used by the Lord Jesus, and it carries the idea of God being our daddy. Again, it's the term that we use for intimacy and an affectionate fondness of who God is. What He represents to us. He is our Heavenly Father. And what this does, it removes that idea that God is our strict judge and carries the idea of Him, God, being a loving Father who cares, understands, and now becomes our best friend. Every day when we communicate, we should be communicating mostly with God. And we know we communicate with our families, but we should be acknowledging God our Father every day in our daily walk. Daily. Amen. Let's go to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And let's go to I'm going to start in verse 40. Verse 40. I'm going to start there. And the child, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" Amen. Amen. Look at this. You know, the Lord knew. The Lord Jesus knew. From these verses alone, the Lord Jesus knew who he was and what he was to do at the age of 12. And this shows how responsible Jesus was. And as a boy, he reached a point where of religious maturity. And you see that because, you know, they said, you know, he had so much wisdom. At 12 years old, he had so much understanding at 12 years old, right? And the Lord Jesus did become accountable for his own actions at that age. He was able to take care of himself for 3 days. All the while, his parents thought he was with relatives. But he took care of himself for 3 days in Jerusalem, in a very crowded city, right? And he could have been in danger. That's why the parents were anxiously worried about him, right? But his parents had total trust in him. And because of that, they thought he was with family members. But he actually wasn't. So from a very early age on, the Lord Jesus was about his father's business. Because he was God himself. Amen. He knew. He knew what he was born to do. Amen. And you know, scripture shows us that Jesus waited another 18 years before he began his public ministry. That should speak volume to us. You know, even though he was, man, he had so much wisdom at 12 years old, but from the time he was 12 until he was 30 years old, God the Father was preparing him for ministry. And as I always say, preparation time is never wasted time. The Lord Jesus had to wait on his ministry because there was an appointed time for that. Amen. Let's go to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3. Let's go to verse 17. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Matthew 3:17, this part it says, "And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Amen. This is when John the Baptist baptized the Lord Jesus in the Jordan River, right? So the Lord Jesus received the true adoption from Father God at 30 in the Jordan River. And he spoke it out loud and he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So God the Father was well pleased with his Son Jesus Christ before his Son even began his ministry. And this all took place. This baptism took place, and this adoption from Father God took place before he began to cast out devils, before he began to heal people, right? It was before he had fulfilled his purpose. The Father's love for his Son wasn't based on performance. And that's the way he is towards us today, church. The way we, and it's the same way we should be towards others. This is not something we earned. This is not something the Lord Jesus earned. It was freely given to him. Amen. The Spirit of God was freely given to him. He was able to do ministry because of God the Father. Whatever God the Father told him to do, he did. And that's what we have today. The same Spirit that the Lord walked in, is the same Spirit that we have today. And it was gifted to us. It wasn't based on performance. We didn't earn it. We didn't have to do anything for it. And we still don't. Amen? It's always there. It's not going to leave us. The Word of God says, the Lord is there with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. God the Father never left Jesus. Never left him. And this is the same way we should be towards others. We need to love people unconditionally. Amen. We should not base our love in the things that they do. No, we should just love people unconditionally, just the way the Father loves us unconditionally. Does the same way he accepted us unconditionally. He didn't look at our hang-ups, our past sins, our past failures, our past displeasures, you know, nothing like that. He just said, you know what? I see Christ in you. I see Christ in you. I want you. I'm adopting you. If you would accept my Son, I want you. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's go to the prophetic book of Isaiah. Let's go to chapter 9, verse 6. The scripture that we read during Christmas time. 9:6. This prophetic word from Isaiah. Look at what it says. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Amen. So here we have the Lord Father God. He, through these verses, he is declaring the love that he has for Jesus Christ and the trust that he has placed on Jesus himself. A child is born, it says here. A son is given. The physical body of the Lord Jesus was born, but his eternal spirit, which existed in the beginning of time and created all things, was given. Amen. The spiritual being of the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't created, but was given into a sinless, but nonetheless, human body of a baby. Of a baby. And notice also that the Lord Jesus was to be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Jesus was equal to God. Jesus was equal to God.
Is equal.
It is God who came into the scene. He took upon and took upon and became the Lord Jesus here on earth. He was still God, but he was 100% man as well. He took on a natural nature And he already had divine nature in him. But here we see very clearly that Jesus was equal to God. Because he was God and he is God. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to verse 35. John 3:35. It says here, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. That's right. The Father God gave the Lord Jesus the kingdom. And today we, as children of God, we are now in Christ Jesus. We are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have all things put in our hands through our union with Christ Jesus. Amen? And we know that because we just read all the benefits from Psalm 103 that we have through the union that we have through Jesus Christ. Through the accepting of the Son of God in our life. We now have all these benefits. We carry the kingdom of God within us. We carry the Lord. He's given it to us freely. And he has placed things in our hands for us to do and take care of. Amen. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 5. Let's go to verse 20. And it says here, and it's in red letters, so the Lord Jesus is speaking, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. Amen. So here we have the Father showed the Lord Jesus all the things that he would do because he loved him. And in the same way, John 3:16, the Lord loves us. Amen. He gave his only begotten Son. We know that scripture very well. And we, likewise, God will show us all things that we need to do in his name. We all have a purpose in our life. We all have a destiny that we should be accomplishing in him. And all the glory goes to God. The Lord Jesus gave all the glory to God. He never took on glory. He would heal people and say, hey, tell no one. Hey, tell no one. Amen. He didn't take credit for it, right? So the Lord here, he loves us too. And will likewise show us all things if we will receive his love, right? This is all about love. Love is the key to revelation. Just like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, right? So if we have a revelation of God's love for us, this is the key that we need to do the works and the greater works that God has called us to do. We need to first receive the love of God, because when we receive the love of God, then it's easy for us to obey and heed to his leading. And love is the key to this revelation. You got to know that Father God loves you with an unconditional type of love. It is the agape love. It's not a friendly love. It is agape. It is unconditional. Friends may like you today, may love you tomorrow, but may dislike you the next day. But God is not like that. God loves us unconditionally, and his love never changes on us. Never. So the miracle Jesus performed were not just for the sake of the individuals receiving them. Rather, they were designed by God to make others marvel and be in awe. To be mesmerized, right? I don't know about you, but sometimes when you hear about a sign and a wonder or even a miracle, aren't you like in awe? Or sometimes when God moves in such a way in your life, you're like, oh my goodness, God, you did this.
Yes, amen.
You caused this to happen. Right? We've all can testify, and we can even be witnesses of miracles and signs and wonders that God has done through us and in our families and in others. Amen? So miracles are a testimony to the power of God, and we see that in Scripture. If Jesus needed miracles to testify for Him, we need this testimony even more today. Amen? This is why this teaching is so critical, because we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. We need to be walking in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit every day, and we should be seeing the signs, wonders, and miracles every day, just like the Lord Jesus witnessed in His day. He created those miracles. He is the miracle worker. He is the way maker. He's already given us the way. But like I said, 1 John 4:17, as the Lord is, so are we in this world. So the same benefits, the same spirit that Jesus had when He was here on earth is the same spirit that we have today. And we can be testimonies. We can lay hands on the sick and see them recovered, because that is the right that we have as sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
And we need more and more testimony today. How do you think the church during Pentecost got filled? Because they saw the signs and wonders and the miracles that were taking place, not through Jesus Christ, through ordinary people, the disciples of Christ. The disciples of Christ. And we at Beacon of Light Church, we are making disciples. We are sharing the truth of the gospel. This is why we have Bible studies. This is why these teachings are going forth, because God wants to reveal to His people what you are missing out on, what we should be witnessing more and more every single day. We should be seeing the signs, miracles, and wonders every day. I want to see people set free every day. Yesterday I had a prayer request from a friend saying that, hey, this person said that she's been spiritually attacked, that she's seen demonic spirits attacking her, that even her nephew's being attacked spiritually. And I said to the person, is she a believer? And she said, yes. So then I said that she has an identity crisis. She doesn't know who she is in Christ Jesus, because we have power, authority, and dominion over any spiritual attack of the enemy. We just say to him, no, in the name of Jesus, get out.
Amen.
And he's got to go. So, church, there is an identity crisis within the body of Christ. And if you don't know who you are in Christ, you're in deep trouble. Because you're not going to know how to attack and come back and resist the devil for him to flee. And this is why these teachings are coming forth. Because God wants us to be in the know. Because the Word of God says, if you are in my Word, then you are truly my disciples. And the truth of the Word will set you free. But if you're not in the Word, if you're not in Bible studies, if you're not praying together with us, you're missing out. And God is revealing Himself over and over and over and over and over every time we get together. Every time we get together. Because God is always speaking. And the same word He gave you last week is not the same word He's going to give you today. Because situation changes. The atmosphere changes. You change. God never changes. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God wants to see the miracles, signs, and wonders. And I am pressing towards that being shown inside and outside of Beacon of Light Church. I want to see the miracles, signs, and wonders. I want to walk in the supernatural, not just once a week, twice a week, every day of my life until I go home to be with the Lord. If Jesus needed miracles, so do we. We need to see miracles. We need to be in the knowing. My people perish for lack of knowledge. This young lady, she was perishing and perishing quickly. Spiritually, she did not know her identity in Christ. So I don't know why they're teaching her at the church, but we're teaching here the truth of the Word of God, and we're teaching you that you have an identity, and it's only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are an adopted son or daughter of God, and the only power the enemy has is the power to deceive, but he has no authority, no dominion, and no power over you, because now you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, and you've been set apart. You've been sanctified, set apart, justified, set apart from the world.
Amen.
From the world. We're not conformed to this world. We have been transformed, and we continue to be transformed by the renewing of our mind through the Word of God. And that's the truth from the Word of God. We need to receive the adoption of God and be free from an orphan spirit. This young lady was operating as if she had the orphan spirit, which she did not. As a believer of Christ, you are no longer operating as an orphan. You have been adopted by God. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 16. And let's go to verse 27. 16:27. It says here, "For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God." This is the Lord Jesus himself speaking. For the Father himself loves you. Father God loves us because you have loved me, because we love Christ. And we believe that Christ came forth from God. We believe it. That's why we accepted his Son. We believed it by faith. Amen. The Father loves us like he loves the Lord Jesus. The Father trusts us like he trusts Jesus. God has entrusted me with Beacon of Light Church. God has entrusted me to teach his word to his people. That's how much trust he has. God has entrusted you, church, to be ministers of your homes, to your families. God has entrusted you with his word to edify people around you, to bring light when there seems to be darkness in them, to bring encouragement when they seem to be somewhat down, to bring joy to them when there seems to be sadness. God has entrusted us that to us. And it's unfortunate that many people see God as a harsh God, whom the Lord Jesus has to constantly appease to keep peace in the family. But here, the Lord Jesus is revealing here through Scripture that God the Father is loving. And he loves us because we love him first, because we love Jesus. So those who are in love with his Son have God the Father in love with them. Amen. God sees us as his precious, beloved sons and daughters. Why? Because if we love his son, he's going to love us, man. And he did. He came for the world. He came for us. He gave everything he had. And all we had to do was accept the truth about his son, Jesus, and believe. Believe that he came, he was born. He went to the cross sacrificially, and on the third day he resurrected. And because of his resurrection, we are alive with Christ today. Amen. We are living freely. Freely as sons and daughters of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Romans 7:6. Let's go to the book of Romans. Romans 7:6 says, "But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." Right? So we know that the Lord set us free from the law. But we need to see ourselves as adult sons and daughters, not as children or servants. We are not babes in the Word. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are here to serve the Lord. And His love has empowered us to live godly lives. Just knowing, you should, just by knowing that God loves you, just by knowing the sacrificial work of the cross that the Lord Jesus paid for, should just make you and desire for you to live a godly life, just like Jesus lived here on earth. Amen? There should be a desire to do good, to please God at all times, not just once a week or once a month. No, this is a very day thing. This is daily. God is more pleased with someone who has a pure heart and yet fails Him in actions than someone who does the right things with an impure heart. Because God is always looking at the heart of people. What are your intentions? What are you doing this for? Is it for your own glory or is it for the glory of God? There are many ministers right now promoting their book. And this is a true story. There are many ministers right now promoting their book, the book that they wrote. They're even using their book in a Bible study instead of using the Bible in their Bible studies. Now, go figure. This is the world we live in today. That should not be so. The only book we should be studying in a group, in fellowship, is the Word of God. You want to have a book club outside of the church? You can go ahead and do that. But within the church, a Bible study should be based on the Word of God, not on somebody else's writings. My opinion, Bernice's opinion. Amen? So we know that the law kills, but the Spirit of God gives life. And that's what we have today. We have the Spirit of life. We have the Spirit of God. So true Christianity is not the observance, right, of a different set of rules than some other religion, right? It is a change of the heart. When you received the Lord, you had a change of heart.
Amen.
And once people's hearts are changed, like ours were, they will serve God. Not because they have to, but because they want to. Amen? It's not out of, if you're doing something out of obligation, don't do it at all. Because it will profit you nothing. Same thing, if you're giving your tithes and offering out of obligation, stop. Don't do it because it will profit you nothing. When you got a revelation of the Word of God, and you truly know that the Lord Jesus loves you, and you have an identity with Him, and He calls you His daughter or son, and God reveals to you the truth of the word, and he'll tell you, all right, now you're ready. Now you're ready to serve. Now you're ready to give. Now you're ready for this, this, and that. Amen? This is why it took the Lord from the time he was 12, fast forward, when he was 30, that's when the Lord God adopted him. My beloved, I am well pleased with you. Now he was ready for ministry. Amen? Let's go to the book of Galatians 4:7. I know it's running a little long. I'm sorry, but there's just so much to say here. Amen. Galatians 4:7. Sorry, 4:7. I'm gonna wrap it up very soon. Galatians 4:7. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Amen? We know that. We are now heirs of God. And this is infinitely greater than being an heir to the richest men in the world today. Amen? Can you agree with that? We are heirs of God. Co-heirs, joint heirs with Christ Jesus. And this is the truth, right? There's no greater place to be than to be in the hands of God. He is truly taking care of us. And he's given us an inheritance that is, I can't even, when I go back to Psalm 103, I said, oh my God, I have all these benefits. I have inherited all these things from God. Amen. And we have to come to an agreement, or at least to know that all this, God did this for us. He redeemed us from his wrath. And he gave us a brand new start. He gave us a brand new life. And now we no longer have to, you know, before we were headed straight to hell, but today we don't have to spend eternity in hell. We have a place that we can call home now. It's something that we have inherited through Jesus Christ, through his saving grace. Amen? Because we are actually now called sons and daughters. And God has granted us an inheritance through him. And church, that is supernatural. Supernatural to know that we have a home awaiting for us when we go home to be with the Lord. We're not going to go to hell, okay? That's not our home. Our home is to be with the Lord. And we just need to embrace that truth that we are surely sons and daughters of God. We have to embrace that truth. Let it sink in that we are his adopted children. Amen? And God has truly entrusted us with his kingdom. Let's go to the Gospel of Luke 12:32. Let's go there quickly. In Luke 12:32, it says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen? It is the Father's good pleasure to give us his kingdom. The context right here in this verse is all about the Lord supplying our physical needs. So you read the verses before, it's about God being our sustainer, about not worrying about what we're going to eat, what we're going to put on. Amen? This is about God supplying for us our physical needs. The Lord's good pleasure, church, is to give us his kingdom. And he has to every believer. Amen? And this right here, giving us his good pleasure, includes meeting our physical needs. In Philippians 4:19, it says, and I've been declaring this word over and over and over every single day, it says that my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. And it's a word, it's a verse that we should be declaring every day, because to recognize that God is our daddy, that he loves us deeply, that he cares for us, that he cares for his adopted children. And faith, church, works by love. Faith works by love. God is our source. God is our provider. God is our sustainer. He has enabled us to accomplish all that he called us to do by his leading of the Holy Spirit, by the leading and instructing us through his Holy Spirit. And it is truly the Father's good pleasure, as the word says, to give us his kingdom, the kingdom of God. Amen. He's given it to us. And we as believers, we reflect God and we manifest his kingdom every day, because we are glory carriers. We carry the glory of God within us. So in closing, church, you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. That's what Romans 8:15 tells us. Before salvation, before we were saved, we were separated from God. But through Christ, the Holy Spirit brings us into God's family. And now, the spirit of adoption calls us sons and daughters. And the spirit of adoption, what it does, it gives us assurance of salvation. And remember what I said, in salvation you have all the benefits. You not only saved, you're healed, delivered, restored, reconciled. You have all these benefits now. You have peace, you got strength, you have joy. And the spirit of adoption also removes the orphan spirit and reveals to his children that we have now sonship with God. Sonship.
Amen.
The spirit of adoption produces intimacy with God. Now we can have an intimate relationship with God. The spirit of adoption confirms our identity as children of God. The spirit of adoption declares our God as our provider, who truly, truly, and deeply loves us. Many believers know that God as creator. Some know him as Savior, right? But the spirit of adoption teaches you and I to know him as Father, as Daddy, as Papa God. So, church, remember, you're not a servant trying to earn acceptance. You are a son and daughter loved by your Heavenly Father.
Amen.
You are loved. Please take that in. You are loved by your Heavenly Father, and God is well pleased with you. Amen. I pray that you have received revelation. I pray that the Holy Spirit has illuminated your mind to comprehend those things that your natural mind cannot comprehend. But by the Spirit, that you will receive the revelation and the truth of God, for you to know that your identity surely lies in Christ, and that you are surely beloved by God our Father. And he calls you son, and he calls you daughter in Jesus' name.